episode 101 of the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast. I'm on today with Dani Hertzberg. She's the head of SMB sales in North America at Slack. Dani, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Mike. How are you?
I'm well. Tell us a little bit more about you. What's your background? Where do you come from? What's your story?
Sure. So you summarized the current state well. I head up Slack's SMB sales org, which involves coming up with go-to-market strategy for selling to companies between 100 and 500 employees, as well as building out our team of sales development reps, SDRs. And before Slack, go ahead.
And where were you before Slack?
Yeah, before I was, I spent the majority of my career at a company called HubSpot, sales and marketing software company, where I spent time in enterprise sales, sales management, and then finally in product as a director of business development.
Wonderful. Are you an East Coaster or West Coaster?
I am an East Coaster. So I grew up in Boston. That's how I found HubSpot. And
oh, cool.
Exciting fact, today, actually right now as we speak, I believe Stuart Butterfield, Slack CEO, is keynoting HubSpot's annual user conference of 20,000 or so folks.
Oh, wow.
In Boston. So that's an exciting world-colliding moment for me. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, maybe, Stuart will obviously talk at the conference, but maybe give us sort of just what's going on at Slack these days and some of the interesting things that are happening at the company.
Sure. Slack is a very exciting place to be right now. It's the fastest growing enterprise tech company in history. So we have millions of daily active users and paying customers. This month was really exciting for the company, big milestone. We just had our first ever user conference. And first of all, it was just really exciting to meet a lot of customers face-to-face and meet a lot of our platform integration partners. And secondly, we got to announce two big initiatives that I think are exciting for the company. One is localization, as we put a big emphasis on going global. And the second one was this launch of a concept of shared channels, which means that companies can collaborate with vendors or clients or contractors outside of their company, but within the same instance of Slack. So that was a really big, exciting announcement within an exciting context.
Cool. Last introductory question that we do for everyone on the podcast. What is one thing that no one will know about you?
That's a hard one. Okay, so here's one that might be relevant.
Okay.
Speaking of my life as an East Coaster, so I grew up in a town called Brookline, and I had two primary after-school activities, and they're going to give you a sense of how cool I was in high school.
Okay.
One was Russian math school, and the other was waitressing at a diner, a local diner in Newton. And I would say that those two jobs have very nicely paved the path for the job I'm in now. So as a waitress, I basically was introduced to sales and
yep.
got really comfortable chatting people up, got very comfortable with the idea of tips or commissions and this concept of a meritocracy in terms of the harder you work, the better you can do at your job. And it can be really playful and fun.
Russian math school.
And then in math school, I basically just got very comfortable leaning into quantitative analysis. And I think sales leadership is this amazing combo of those two things. It's basically being able to be very strategic and zoom out and look at your business and figure out where there are levers for growth. And it's being comfortable actually doing the sales and teaching people how to do so. So
I have heard, I think there is a, maybe it's New York Times. I will include this in the blog post when we release this podcast, but I've heard the Russian math schools are on fire in the U.S. because there are so many adults that have figured out that these are some of the greatest institutions to teach young kids. And so there like is way more demand than they can even fulfill.
Yeah. So, in my my town alone, there are multiple within a 1 mile radius of my home. And I think I saw an NPR segment or heard
that
an
might
NPR
have been
segment
it.
On it. Exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, well, those are two great fun facts that are definitely relevant. And I don't think anybody knew that listens to this podcast that you went especially to school. So let's jump into the topic. So we went back and forth on what might make the most sense. And I think just Slack, given the sort of iconic nature of the business and how you guys have started building the sales organization, the topic of discussion today is really sort of moving upstream and kind of how to build a sales organization in premium SaaS. And so maybe can you just talk a little bit about the transition, perhaps maybe just at Slack level or more broadly from an organizational level of how you make that sort of shift going from freemium to SMB in the software world, and sort of just give kind of the audience the highest level of what you mean by it so we can set foundation.
Sure. So the reason I think this is an interesting topic is because we're at a really, really interesting inflection point in how buyers buy. So traditionally, buyers didn't have access to very much information at all. They completely had to depend on a sales rep to figure out anything about a product. They would get on the phone with them or meet in person with them and either get a demo or get a slide deck that gives an overview about how a product might be able to help them. And in the world of freemium SaaS, this is totally flipped on its head. And Dropbox and Evernote and other great premium companies have paved the way here. But the idea is that you can give away a really big chunk of your product completely for free, and buyers can start trying and actually using and getting a ton of value well before they buy. And they come into a sales conversation, if at all, very educated about the product and very aware of the value it can bring to an org. So I love it. It makes for really empowered buyers here. And it also makes for kind of a necessity to rewrite the sales or go-to-market playbook within this context, because you're playing a role that is much more consultative, helpful, almost customer service oriented in helping your existing free users or customers navigate their own organizations to spread your product more broadly, or you're helping them navigate decisions about what the right security features are for them or why they might need a premium version.
Sure.
But that's essentially the transition we're talking about.
Got it. And maybe just to take a sort of closer view and talk about it at the organizational level, you talk about sort of the concept of folks coming to a site, signing up pretty easily. You start to develop a large user base, which obviously Slack has publicly talked about and is pretty well known. Then sort of you come in and set up the SMB sales effort. What were some of the things that you did just from a raw setup standpoint when you joined Slack, and kind of what would you coach? You know, because there are obvious companies out there that have started to gain a large following and a big user base, and then they want to set up sort of the SMB function. Maybe talk a little bit about at the organizational level what you did.
Sure, I'll be happy to. I don't think I get to take credit for it. I joined
We can,
Slack.
Whatever. You can take it.
Yeah. So Bob, our global VP of sales, and Kevin Egan, who ran sales at Dropbox and now runs sales in America, I think mostly get credit for it, and Stuart. But step number one, I think, which was a really important moment in Slack's kind of go-to-market strategy, is segmenting, period. So figuring out at what point does a company actually need to talk to a human in order to make a decision about whether to upgrade or whether to go and roll out Slack across an entire org and beyond, let's say just a group of developers who are using it. So we went about creating segments. I don't know if they're perfect, but they've helped quite a bit in terms of focusing and hiring the right talent to match each one. Our go-to market segments are SMB, which includes everything from 0 to 500 employees with a slightly different go-to-market strategy, below 100 employees versus above 100 employees. Then we have the enterprise segment, which is 500 to 4,000 employee companies. Then we have the large enterprise segment, which is kind of like strategic accounts, and that's working with companies above 4,000 employees. And building a muscle that's slightly different across each of those segments based on the needs of the buyers that they're working with was a really important step. For me personally, as I entered Slack and took over the SMB sales org in North America a couple months ago, I basically had two things that I was focused on in ramping. Number one was listening. So listening to my peers, listening to sales reps on the front lines, listening to my managers, and listening to customers and what they're saying about the product, and trying to synthesize what I'm hearing into a couple of key points that we'll be able to take action on quickly. And then the second one, which is connected, was identifying the biggest levers and the biggest bottlenecks for the org. So I came in and really quickly was able to get a good sense of what's going really well, where we can justify doubling down and investing more resources, and then what's holding back sales reps or sales managers on the team from spending their days as efficiently as possible. So once I had an idea of what some of those bottlenecks were, a handful of them were actually easy enough to remove, that we could move those out of the way and, again, figure out how to tackle go-to-market much more efficiently and how to scale.
Sure. Maybe just two sort of tactical questions off of that. So the segmentation you laid out is awesome. How did you actually – is it as simplistic as mining your existing sort of database, first name, last name, email, and then sort of correlating those two companies that they're at? Because I know sort of oftentimes some people don't, you know – give you all of the information you need. Was there any specifics that you would sort of, you know, coach a founder on or what you guys did to actually build out that segmentation?
Yeah, it's a work in progress. I think each company has to come up with its own philosophy about how many questions it does or doesn't want to ask a buyer and at what stage of the process. And this has been a really big change coming from HubSpot. So HubSpot's methodology and even its software is all about getting people to your website and then putting on these lead conversion forms where someone will fill it out, tell you a whole bunch of stuff about them so that you can route them accordingly or score them accordingly and treat them differently in the sales process. At Slack, we built the company, you know, for the first 2 years didn't have anyone in sales, period.
Right.
And I think the intent and the guiding philosophy was to remove friction for the user is a really, really customer-centric philosophy, which I appreciate. So I think we have some demographic data when you sign up to create a free team, but we don't port that over into Salesforce.com or anything like that. So we really do rely on customers to tell us a lot about who they are. And then if I was to coach another founder on how to go about doing this, if they didn't want to ask too many questions up front, or they were building a freemium model, I might, first of all, I would have them look at tools that append data and give you an idea roughly of company size so that you can sell and market to them appropriately. And I would probably encourage them to consider something along the concept of progressive profiling, where you don't ask someone for their whole life story up front and you don't make them feel like a sales lead. You make them feel like someone who's going to get access to your product immediately if they want it. And then once they see value in it, if there are certain trigger points, like in each company is going to have their own, but in ours, our trigger points might be something like the number of messages they've sent to date or the number of integrations they've installed, which are good heuristics for how much value they're getting out of the tool. Those are good times to prompt either in product or marketing or website questions about their company size and whether they want to talk to someone. So it's kind of like inbound lead gen later in the funnel and perhaps in product.
Excellent. And then my second question was sort of maybe for other managers out there or executives that are coming into organizations like Slack, what was your approach to the whole sort of talk to customers? Was it as simplistic as just get on the phone and transcribe and pull apart what are some of the commonalities, or how did you kind of think about that and approach it?
Okay, I'm going to resist the urge to pitch Slack because that's not the point of this. But really, honestly, I relied on Slack to figure out what themes I'm hearing from customers. So whenever a new customer comes on board who's had any sort of sales engagement, we post that in a sales channel on Slack with notes on, you know, what pain points they were experiencing, what excited them about the product, how they've been using it to date, and how they're going to use the new version of the tool or how they're going to use it now that it's widespread across the entire organization. And I literally just spent my first couple of weekends reading tons and tons of backlogs of what that looks like. On top of that, obviously, during the day, I've shadowed sales calls, both on the customer success side and on the sales side. And I've talked to the frontline reps and to my manager, the manager of those reps, Kim, about any common themes that we're hearing in this given point in time, both the good and the bad, so that we can figure out how to address those and make sure they're communicated across the company.
Sure. Okay, that's super helpful. Okay, maybe drilling down into sort of below the organizational level and maybe at a more tactical level, how do you think about sort of conversion points through that sales process map? Sort of what are some of the triggers you thought about? Obviously, you kind of go on this listening tour and you understand what would enable someone to move into the SMB bucket. Can you maybe just walk the listeners through some points there and taking on sort of a prospect from that freemium bucket?
Sure. So let me make sure I understand it correctly, because there are conversion points that we look for to figure out, hey, does it make sense for us to reach out to this company at this point in time? Are we going to look salesy, or is this going to be actually a right time, right place outreach?
Yeah. Maybe let's take it from the sales process standpoint first, and then perhaps go into sort of the product piece of it.
Yep, absolutely. So the sales process is this. Usually at the point where sales gets involved, it means there are multiple stakeholders who are exploring Slack for different reasons. So director of IT or the chief security officer might be looking at it to make sure that it integrates with OneLogin or Okta and that it's checking all the security boxes and that you're compliant. And then the head of HR wants to make sure that new employees are onboarded smoothly and don't have to ask the same question over and over, et cetera. So what we're doing in the sales process is identifying who the various stakeholders are and what they care about. We're running a discovery call with each of them, ideally separately, and we're identifying one champion among that group who's really kind of helping us navigate the organization, its priorities, its timeline, et cetera. And once we've done a number of those discovery calls, which is the bulk of the process, we work with the champion to create some sort of a joint plan that works backwards from a milestone that they care about. So a lot of the time, a champion might want to roll out Slack company-wide after the next all-hands meeting or at the start of the next quarter or after the CEO's Ask Me Anything. They're going to roll it out as a chance to get everyone on board and show that the executive leadership is involved as well. So we'll work backwards from whatever that date is and come up with a game plan of what it would take to get this rolled out smoothly. And we have the champion agreeing with us each step of the way, hopefully, so that basically so that we are selling or consulting together as opposed to in our own little islands. What's interesting here, which is very different, again, from my days selling the marketing product at HubSpot, is that the demo stage often doesn't exist. So sometimes, particularly for a new enterprise grid product, people want to see a demo because the structure is a little bit different than other versions of Slack. But aside from that, I would say the vast majority of my team's sales do not involve a demo at all because it's a freemium product and because people have already been using it and loving it before they talk to us. So it goes from discovery, joint plan to final, you know, contract negotiations, et cetera.
There's kind of a less of a middle piece of your funnel, basically, because they are already using and understand the product, I guess.
Exactly.
Perfect. That's excellent. And then maybe the point we discussed earlier, from a product standpoint, you know, a lot of companies think about gated features or, you know, in-product support or sort of marketing campaigns based on usage. How do you guys think about the moving someone from the freemium bucket to an actual prospect? Is there any sort of, I'm assuming there's discussion with the product team, and how do you think about speeding conversion or at least better understanding the segment that could be moving into the SMB population?
I think one of the most important things is just communication across sales, product, and marketing. And that's kind of basic, but it's really helpful. Like every time Fareed, who's our product lead for the growth team, and his counterparts, David and Rachel, every time we sit in a room and actually talk about either the experiments they're running and then anecdotally what we're seeing on the sales side, and we have a feedback loop, that's been extremely helpful for figuring out which of those initiatives should actually get piped into official sales leads that our team should have an SLA to follow up with, and which should just be kind of drumming up some support and stay in kind of experiment or pilot phase. So that's one part of it. And then I think on their end, it's really just like data-focused experimentation. So if we offer someone a free trial of a paid version of Slack, at what rate do they accept the trial and actually use it? Of those who actually use it, at what rate do they then raise their hands to talk to someone about upgrading company-wide? And the more we do these little experiments and track the conversion rates maniacally all the way through, the better decisions we make.
Got it. Okay. Super, super helpful. So what's your structure? Maybe just to dig in on the marketing and the customer success side, are you guys sort of communicating daily, weekly? What's sort of the best practices you think about as you move from sort of, you know, freemium to building the actual sales organization? And I know sort of the SLA concept really comes out of HubSpot, and maybe just sort of dive in a little bit deeper on your own practices and what you'd sort of recommend to any new teams that are thinking about this.
Sure. I say over-communicate. There's literally no downside in over-communicating, which probably doesn't mean 2 in-person meetings a day between sales and marketing leaders, but it does mean some sort of a monthly cadence at the very least with lower touch checkpoints throughout. So we have kind of an SMB council channel where the leaders of each functional segment within SMB is focused on SMB, talk to one another, share data that we've analyzed, share experiments that we're running, share feedback that we hear from the front lines. And that's really good for like a daily pulse and a very obvious place to communicate. And now, as we think about looking forward over the next year and over the next 5 years of Slack's growth and specifically the SMB engine, we're basically thinking about running our cross-functional meetings as mini board meetings. And this means each function reporting out like what's going well and what's one thing that I'm worried about right now. And then we meet together to figure out how we can support one another across all of those or what we can diagnose from there.
Excellent. Super, super helpful. Okay, maybe sort of last coverage point that a lot of people will want to know, sort of thoughts on metrics and tracking in terms of when you set up the engine and then sort of the growth today, looking back.
Sure. A lot of what I'm working on setting up right now, again, because sales is very early days, is on the sales team measurements to to figure out how to reverse engineer an appropriate funnel to reliably hit whatever quota that we decide upon. So that means as we experiment with different approaches to prospecting and reaching out to free team users, et cetera, what number of emails, calls, or contacts do we need in order to set up X number of meetings? What number of meetings convert to X number of opportunities? What number of opportunities typically closes into paying business? And what's appropriate to expect? So I want to get those conversion metrics of our own sales funnel down pat before we think about stepping on the gas and scaling the team quite a bit. Also want to think about how to match the right talent internally with the right task or responsibility. So we want to make sure that every small customer, no matter whether you have 20 employees or 2,000 employees or 20,000 employees, gets really good customer service and love from Slack. But on the sales side, I need to figure out how to staff that appropriately, whether that's an SDR function, a BDR function, SMBAE, et cetera. What else in terms of metrics? Other things in terms of metrics, we have a monthly ops review where we each take a look at our segment and we look at ARR growth and ACV growth by month over the course of a trailing 12 months as a segment. And there we look to see, number one, what trends we should anticipate. So, for example, Slack has a fair billing usage policy where you only pay for what you use in the product at certain tiers of the product. So that means over Christmas and over Thanksgiving, we're going to anticipate lower usage. That wasn't something that I had thought about in July, but now in preparing for my monthly ops meeting, I saw, okay, we need to get ahead of that and plan for some sort of slowdown in usage, which means that we need to counteract that or think through what that means from a sales standpoint. So I think having some sort of cadence where you look at the data and then some consistency around what data you look at, whether that is ACV growth, whether those are churn metrics, whether those are usage metrics, whether that is, you know, looking at your hiring headcount plan and making sure you're staying on track. Those are all the metrics that we're spending our time looking at on a pretty consistent basis.
Got it. It's amazing that the usage-based model, the sort of peaks and valleys related to holidays. That's a fascinating point that I definitely wouldn't have thought about, but it makes a lot of sense. Maybe just, you know, so we've talked about this from a organizational level, a tactical level. We've gone to the individual contributor all the way up to the kind of executive level. If you were to kind of bottle all of this up into a few key points or a few key takeaways, educating sort of younger founders on moving upstream and building this sales organization in a premium SaaS environment, what do you think they would sort of be, maybe just to recap and close?
So if I were educating a founder of a freemium SaaS company, I would want to think about, this is more of a products question, but I would want to think about how can I give away a whole lot of value for free where the freemium model actually works and you get a really large and engaged user base using the product and evangelizing it to other people. And then I want to think about what are the 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever the number is, points of value that I can put into premium versions of the model that could justify substantial spend and that actually makes sense as a business decision for that buyer. In our case, and I think in Dropbox's case, and a lot of these companies' cases, those levers or triggers might be oriented around security, presumably because as a company grows in sophistication, it has to be a lot smarter about its approach to security. And they put aside budget for paying for those kind of things. So I think that's a really nice matchup. But you have to think about what's the right one for you, given your product and your industry from a product standpoint. And let's say I was coming in brand new as the first sales leader of a freemium company and helping it move into an enterprise sales motion. I would say that sales leader has to come in completely completely with an open mind. You're not forklifting any existing playbook and applying it to your company, because the freemium selling playbook has just not been established yet. We've each taken kind of bites at it and we're doing our best, but there's no tried and true model because it's just so new. So you have to go in with an open mind and a willingness to pioneer a new playbook and emphasize this concept of being helpful over salesy, and emphasize it because you're dealing with a completely different buyer who is only going to buy from you if you are making their life incrementally better and easier. So so I like the direction this is going, but my advice to sales leaders is to be coming into these new opportunities with an open mind and a willingness to build a playbook essentially from scratch.
Amazing. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming onto the show. I mean, this is all incredible, and we really, really appreciate it. The podcast will probably go out in the next couple of weeks, and I just wanted to thank you once again for coming onto the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Sonic man out of you. Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now. If you wanna have a good time, just give me a call. Don't stop me now. I'm having a good time. Don't stop me
yes,
now.
I'm having a good time.
I don't wanna stop at all.
Thank you for downloading this Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast. Bowery Capital is a business software-focused venture capital firm specializing in helping our founders build initial revenue traction. For more information, please visit us online at bowerycap.com/blog.